Hello and welcome to Out and About in Moravians. I'm your host, Jeremy Balfour. As part of my job as Member for Scottish Parliament, I get to travel around Moravians, meeting interesting people and hearing about how the companies, charities and projects that they work for benefit and contribute to our community. On this podcast, I will share their stories. On today's episode, I'm looking forward to talking to Mark Harris from CAP UK.
Well, good afternoon. Thanks very much for agreeing to talk to us. Firstly, what's CAP?
Okay. So Christians Against Poverty is a UK-wide charity. We've been running for a bit over 25 years now, and it was founded primarily to help people who find themselves in problems with their debt. Across the UK now, there are 260-odd centres providing that help, 17 in Scotland. And as manager, I run the centre, so that involves me seeing my own clients, but I also have another debt coach who sees clients. And when we go out to clients, and this is one of the very, very unique things that we do, we go to people's homes when we go to see them. We go along with a befriender, so there's always two of us. So there's a team of befrienders that I have the pleasure of training, or they have the misfortune of being trained by me.
Obviously, we you know, we're in a difficult economic position at the moment. We've had COVID, we've had Ukraine, we've had an economic downturn. Are things worse on the ground, or does it feel very similar to what you've been doing the job for a while?
No, much worse, much worse. So I've been doing this a bit over 2 years now, and when I started, I would typically have about half of my clients who we would be able to put a budget together and set them up with a repayment program to deal with their debts within a sensible time frame, 2, 3, 4 years. And the other half would be going through an insolvency process. Now we're more like 65 to 70% needing to go through the insolvency process. And I think most depressingly, lots of those people, even having sorted out their debts and got rid of interest payments and all of those things, we still can't give them a budget that adds up. They simply don't have enough income coming in to deal with their basic necessary expenditure.
And obviously, you're dealing with lots of different people. Do you have an average client? As in, is it a stereotype of what we might think of somebody, or is it all ages, all backgrounds?
So I think the stereotype that people might think of is not what exists. The person who is profligate, wanton spending, has got the 78-inch TV in every room, all of the gizmos that they could possibly want, that's not the person that we see. If there is a typical person, it's somebody who's struggling. And they're struggling because something has gone wrong. That would be the common thread. Now, the something that's gone wrong will be different in lots of different cases. It might be a personal illness, which means that they're no longer able to work or work as much, and so their income's gone down. It may be that they've got a partner or relative who's become ill and they've now got caring responsibilities, but the consequence on their income is the same. Mental health issues are a significant factor. Substance abuse is another one. And again, I could unpack that and go, well, they're not just taking drugs or consuming alcohol for the sake of it. There is another underlying cause behind that as well. So all of those factors lead to a lack of resilience financially. And when something goes wrong, it goes wrong big time for them because they don't have a buffer to stop getting deeper and deeper into debt.
One of the other roles I know is that you work with people who haven't got jobs at the moment. So I think you're a coach in line. A job coach is the title, is that right?
Yes. Yeah.
Again, I mean, obviously the unemployment in the city is quite low, but there is a number of people who aren't in employment. So what skills are you offering people to help them on that journey back into employment?
Yeah, so the Job Club grew out of the Debt Help, and so did another program that we also run called Life Skills. There was recognition that getting people out of debt and onto a program was great, but what do they need as the next step in helping them? And most typically, they needed either a job or they needed help with basic budgeting and controlling their spending so that they didn't go back into debt. So that led to Job Club and Life Skills. Within Job Club, we will typically take people that may have been unemployed for quite a long time. So the beginning stages of the course really are getting them to realize that they do have a value. They do have skills. They've been told for so long that they don't, that they've lost the ability to articulate the fact that they do have skills. It may take a bit of digging for us to help them uncover them, and then a bit of effort to get them to actually believe it and believe in themselves. But getting them to figure out what they're good at, what skills they've got, is the foundation for helping them build a compelling CV, but also to being credible and confident when they get to an interview. So that's probably building somebody back up is the biggest thing we can give them through that process. The CV itself comes out of that, because that's really just documenting how we've managed to get them to realize that there is something that they can do and contribute and be successful at.
And what role, if any, would volunteering help with that? So is volunteering a step in that journey for some people? Is that something that we should be encouraging more people to do to help them back into employment?
Yes, definitely. So from the individual's perspective, it starts to build that confidence that they can do something. They may not be getting paid at that stage, but they can do something and they can make a contribution. And if they can take that confidence into an interview situation, their chances of getting a job become much better. From an employer's perspective, it demonstrates that individual does have the skills that we've written down in the CV for them. Even at fairly basic levels, so are they reliable, dependable? Do they turn up when they're meant to? Have they had responsibility? So if somebody's volunteering, for example, in a charity shop, they've now had responsibility for cash, for stock, maybe opening up and locking up. So all of those qualities start to help build a credible CV, as well as help to build the individual.
This is a controversial question, and you know.
Can I give a controversial
answer?
You
can give a controversial, absolutely. Do you think in society there will be, for whatever reason, whether it's background, addiction, there is a group in society who will never work? And not in any way giving up on them, but are we putting too much pressure on them to get employment? Or is that just a very negative view?
So I think the answer to the first part is yes, there will always be a group of people who will never work. I think I'm tempted to say that those people aren't worried or aren't affected by the system trying to put them under pressure. I think the fitness for work element, that as far as I can see, seems to work quite well, of exempting people from the need to look for work, seems to be something that works perfectly well. Where I think there's more work to be done is getting the benefit of work, not just financial, but psychological, and for people's mental health to be much more positively promoted to people.
Yeah.
It isn't just a calculation of, well, if I work this many hours, how much does it affect my universal credit? And at some point there's a tipping point where it becomes better, but it's going to be not better by very much for a while. But there's so much more to being in work, I think, than not, that doesn't really get a mention.
Yeah, no, it's really helpful. I suppose just a wee bit about yourself, Mark. How did you end up doing this job? What's your journey to get here?
It was all a bit accidental, really. About 10 years ago, I was driving and somebody from CAP came on the radio being interviewed much like this. And I thought, oh, that sounds really interesting. I might like to get involved in that. And then I can't remember where I was going, but I arrived and forgot all about it. And then about 3 years later, a job ad came up for a debt coach with Christians Against Poverty. And that reminded me of the radio program I'd heard. So I applied, thinking I was a shoo-in for this job, given I trained as an accountant and had spent a year. I'd spent most of my career in finance, and I had a very lovely interview with the people, and then got a phone call, and she said, "No, you can't have it, because we really need somebody in Edinburgh to start a life skills program. Can you go and do that?" So I said, "Yeah, okay, I'll go and do that." And so we started Life Skills about 6 or 7 years ago. And then we added Job Club. And then the woman running that debt centre moved away from Edinburgh. And the CAP team phoned me up and said, "Look, do you fancy taking over the debt centre?" So I got there eventually, but it was
A bit of a journey. And I'll come on to my final question in a moment, but just if people are listening to it, maybe they are listening to it accidentally or whatever, how do they get in touch, firstly, if they want to volunteer, but maybe more importantly, how do they get in touch? Perhaps someone's facing debt, they've just been made unemployed, perhaps a bill's come in they hadn't expected. How do we reach out to you and to CAP?
Yeah, can I do the first one first? Because it's hit on a really important point. There is a stigma around being in debt, and that stigma prevents people from asking for help. It's typically between 1 and 3 years before somebody gets in touch with CAP and says, "I can't do this on my own anymore. Can you help?" But the trouble is, by the time they've waited that long, the problem has got much, much bigger. And so our ability to help them and the solutions we can offer have become more difficult. So for everybody who's listening, if you know of anyone who is struggling with their debts, tell them to get help. There is no stigma, there is no shame, particularly from us as an organisation, I think. But the easiest way is to go onto the CAP website. It's www.capuk.org, and on there will be an 0800 number. It's 0800 328 0006, and they will book you in as a client. It's really that simple. That will start a process where a debt coach like me will get in touch pretty quickly and then come to the first meeting with the primary objective, aside from the practicalities of the debt, the primary objective of lifting the burden, lifting the pressure, lifting the anxiety and the stress of the debt. So that's that side. Volunteering, I think probably if you're walking past our little church, which is St. Margaret's on Easter Road, you'll see a big banner with my email and phone number on it. And you can get in touch that way. Or through Mustard Seed Edinburgh, which is our church website.
Great. Final question I always finish with is...
This is the final question.
This is my final question. I'm going to give you a magic wand. You can wave your magic wand. What would help you? What would help the people you're working with the most?
Yeah, so the obvious one, I'm gonna sneak two, since you had two final questions. I'm going to have two final wishes. Inevitably, more money. The clients that we see... And you asked me at the beginning, is there something typical? Typically, they don't have enough money coming in. It's not that they are extravagant with the money that they have. So more money. And it doesn't need to be a huge amount. You asked about whether things had got worse. And actually, they've got worse since the additional COVID payment out of Universal Credit disappeared. That was £20 a week. It's not a huge amount of money, but for people who've got no spare money, £20 a week is huge. But my other wish, I think, would be better coordination between the different services that support people. So somebody that needs to get their income maximised has to go to three different organisations to do that. They have to go to the DWP for Universal Credit. They have to go to Social Security Scotland if they want adult disability payment. They have to go to their local council if they're entitled to reductions in council tax, probably rent and housing benefit. And that in itself is a huge barrier for lots of people. So better communication, coordination, and help for people through the maze.
Unfortunately, our time has gone. We could talk, I'm sure, around all these issues much longer. But thank you again so much for your time. And I think you've challenged us all about what some of our stereotypes we think about. So thank you very much, Mark.
Well, thank you for having me.
It was great to hear from Mark, and it was inspirational to hear about the work that he and others across the UK are doing. We'll put a link to the website in the show notes, and you can go to it if you want to find out more. Thank you for listening to Out and About in Malovians, and I look forward to catching up next time.